In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Dearly beloved brothers and sisters, man is fearfully and wonderfully made. David says so in the Psalms. The fathers tell us that humanity, human beings, mankind, are composite creatures made of different parts, mixed or blended or assembled together. Matter, life, senses, cognition, and the spirit. The fathers call man a microcosm of all of creation. At the most basic level, we are soul and body of earth and of heaven, matter and spirit. And the soul, brothers and sisters, has a certain particular quality to it. It is a spiritual creation. Yes. It is immortal. Yes. It's made in God's image, who is spirit. Yes. And for each of us, it's our most important possession and inheritance from God. But here I'm talking about something else. The soul, as a spiritual creation and as immortal, is always in a state of communication, even during sleep. We can call to mind King Solomon's words, "I sleep, but my heart is awake." In other words, the soul or the heart never sleeps. Now, what is this conversation that goes on within the human soul, be it believing or unbelieving, pious or depraved? The soul calls out in a very particular way, and it's wonderful when it calls out to God. Sometimes it's engaged in idle talk. Sometimes it's talking within about life circumstances or various worries. There's a reason why the church sings at the beginning of the main part of the liturgy, "Lay aside all earthly cares." And then a little later, "Let us lift up our hearts," or our souls. The Lord Jesus Christ is the seer of souls, the only one in the whole universe who knows all the thoughts of every soul that he created. The demons don't know the thoughts in our hearts. Neither do the angels. This is a point we husbands like to remind our wives of. "Honey, I can't read your mind." But our Lord knows every thought in each of our souls, yours and mine. Today we read in Holy Scripture about a mysterious, invisible conversation between the human soul and God. The Lord was pressed by a large crowd of people. They all wanted help, healing, and support from the great teacher. But it turns out that only one great and exalted soul was really conversing with him, and he entered into a conversation with her. God himself not only spoke with her, but also showed her great mercy by answering her prayer. Pressed by those standing around him, the Lord was making his way through the crowd. The disciples were gently keeping the people from simply shoving their master. Suddenly, the Savior made a statement that stunned his disciples. "Who just touched me?" Peter said, "Teacher, a throng of people are pressing against you. Each moment, dozens of hands are reaching out to grab your garments." But the Lord meant only one person. "Virtue or power has gone out from me," he explained to his disciples. He himself knew perfectly well who had touched him. And he turned to the crowd asking, "Who touched me?" With the aim of giving us an incredibly important lesson for all times in the life of the Christian church. From out of the crowd came a misfortunate pagan woman who didn't dare to raise her eyes to Christ the Savior or to the disciples or even to the people. Instead, she fell at his feet and confessed that it was she who had touched him. The multitudes crowding the Savior went silent, and she answered him, I touched you. Her soul had engaged in a hidden conversation with God. Recall, brothers and sisters, how as the Israelites fled from Pharaoh and met the Red Sea and were in desperation, in one of the most important moments in the life of the chosen people, and in Moses' own life, Moses called, maybe inexplicably, for everyone to be silent. Yet the next word of the scripture says that the Lord asked him, "Moses, why are you crying out to me?" Again, although he was silent, Moses' soul had turned to God and was crying out to him. Or recall the story of the man who was healed on the Sabbath day. He rose, taking up his bed, but the Lord said what to the Pharisees? "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" The Pharisees envied Christ, and the Lord saw their thoughts, which were in no way addressed outwardly to him. Or again, recall how the disciples were confused when they saw Christ after his resurrection, because they did not yet have faith in the resurrection. Yet the Lord said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do these thoughts enter your hearts? It's not a spirit, it's I. Be not afraid. Touch my hands and my feet. A spirit has neither flesh nor bones, as you see that I have." A person can talk, but we can converse in the spiritual world without pronouncing a word. This is a great gift of the soul's ability to communicate with God. Amid the human clamor of the crowd in today's gospel, one soul had such a conversation. The poor woman with the issue of blood, who because of her illness was not even supposed to appear in society, never mind touch someone. For it was considered that anyone whom such a person touched would become unclean and thus not permitted to enter into the temple of God. But she did dare to touch this great teacher and miracle worker, who in fact, as we know, was God himself, incarnate and become man. And the Lord says to her these remarkable words, which each of us would like to hear as well. "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Holy tradition teaches that this woman's name is Veronica, and she later became a Christian and is a saint of our church. The Lord calls her to boldness. He supports her action, which was in complete contradiction to Old Testament law. Not only should she not have touched the sacred garments, for as the Holy Fathers point out, she touched one of the sacred parts of an Old Testament man, the tassel with blue wool, which indicated the Jew's special position in society. Not only did she touch something she shouldn't have touched, she shouldn't have even appeared, as I said, in society at that time. And yet the Lord says, be bold. Your faith has saved you. What is this boldness? What is this faith which the Lord approves of and blesses? What is this faith that each of us would like to have as well? We see in Saint Veronica the amazing humility and wonderful boldness of a Christian soul. Her boldness consists in the fact that in believing in God, in believing in his inexhaustible mercy, regardless of all the laws, she resolved in her soul to break through to him and to ask for his fatherly care and for his mercy. She correctly believed in him as infinitely merciful, and no boundaries, including the religious ones, could stop her. Second is her boundless humility. Aware of the unlawfulness of what she was doing, she didn't present herself boldly, but fell down before the Lord Jesus Christ. She had the loftiest humility, we might say, and supreme boldness in her humility as a human. She was worthy of that hidden conversation which took place amidst the noisy crowd in the middle of an Oriental bazaar, in the quiet place between her soul and God. Brothers and sisters, we all, I think, want such a mystical conversation, and we should all strive for it and seek it. Many texts from our holy fathers teach how to cultivate this type of conversation in our souls. Of course, we want it, but will God respond and talk with our soul? Well, what does Scripture teach on this point? A heart that is broken and humbled, God will not despise. If we have only pride or a passionate desire to force our way into communion with God, the Lord won't connect with us, within us, until our heart and soul become truly humble. This is the task of our whole lives, the lesson of our whole lives, to decrease that He might increase. This is the great aim of the spiritual life. First, to see ourselves as we really are, without deceiving ourselves with arrogance and illusions, without telling ourselves exalted myths about ourselves. To see ourselves as we really are, without again deceiving ourselves or other people, or trying to even deceive God. A soul that looks at itself honestly and without delusions acquires humility, which opens the soul interiorly to conversation with God, which is interior prayer, which is communion, which is, again, the goal of our Christian life. This conversation, this communion, is our constant abiding in God. Instead of dialoguing interiorly all day long with ourself and about our problems, we are now living from the heart in communion day by day and moment by moment. Prayer, true internal prayer, without ceasing. It is salvation itself and life eternal. Amen.